God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. How many friends of yours are terrified? Or family members are terrified at the victory of President Trump? I have a family member who is utterly terrified. And there's no point in arguing with her about the policies of Trump. There's no point in pointing out that, for instance, no one is going to be charged with a crime for having a miscarriage. There is no point in this. Not right now. When someone is telling you that our nation is doomed, that President Trump is the devil himself, and that person happens to be an agnostic at best, you can take it as a sign of good. In this particular case, this is the first text message I've received from this family member recognizing a spiritual realm. Well, and she's saying that Trump is the devil. I do not agree, obviously, that President Trump is the devil. I don't know how godly he is. I don't. And the good news is I don't have to know. As we did on the program before the election, I used the Bible as the ultimate voter guide. What are the views? What are the policies of both candidates? And I came at that with my opinion. We don't endorse candidates here. We're not allowed to do this. But my opinion is, on the Republican side, you had the standard bearer there, far more in line with the Word of God in policies. And I'm saddened in a way as well, because I think that this is just an example of victimhood. And my family member is brilliant, far smarter than I am, more successful, a better person, all those things. And I see articles like this. This is a friend of mine writing. His name is Chris Bray. You'll hear me mention him from time to time on the program. I find his analysis absolutely brilliant. And he is a voluminous reader. He wrote an article about The New Yorker. And this is what Chris titled it: "I pronounce The New Yorker dead." And as I read his analysis of this piece in The New Yorker, I was thinking about my dear family member and the lies that people believe about President Trump and the truths about Kamala Harris that are never, ever presented to them. This is how Chris writes about this. He says, "I plan to stop flooding your inbox for a few days, but The New Yorker just published an emotionally incontinent toddler essay that manages to be completely wrong in every single crushingly obvious point of fact. It's a miraculous piece of writing." And this is, in fact, the headline: "How America Embraced Gender War. Both Trump's and Harris's campaign framed the presidential election as a contest between men and women. Did the results prove them right?" By Gia Talentino, who, by the way, used to write at a defunct website called Jezebel. It was a feminist website that, in fact, wrote an article attacking my staff at the Republican National Committee. One guy in particular, they decided to take my friend Bob, who used to work for me, and turn him into a leering pedophile because of a picture of his on our website. That's it. And with that, they decided he was a pedophile. So this is how Chris writes about this piece. Premise: Harris got support from women who reasonably fear being turned into handmaids by mean, snarling right-wing Cletus with guns and pickup trucks. And Trump got a lot of unhinged support among weak men because men hate women and are scared of them. And we're striking back against the mean girl bosses who terrify us. The comedy starts with the very first sentence: "The two big genders are said to be at war." Chris writes, "Just the first two. The other 9,439 are staying off the battlefield." They make the case in this, or this woman does, this Gia makes the case, that the reason we like Melania Trump, and incidentally, I don't know a thing about Melania Trump. I've heard her speak a couple of sentences. I haven't done any research on her because I'm not voting for her. If she was active in the administration, that would be a different issue. But I'm not. And she's not, so I'm not. Apparently, Republican men like Melania Trump because she's hot, silent, and seemingly miserable. That's what we want in women. Hot, silent, miserable. You see how this is headed in this article? Can you see how this could victimize people? And if you take an example of this, this is actually from the article. And as I'm reading this, I am aware of the fact that my family member reads this. And right now, all I can do is be emotionally supportive. All I can do is in text, just say, it's a hard burden you're carrying. It's horrifying and terrifying to feel that way. I have felt that way. From the New Yorker. The gender war, as pitched by politicians, revolves around two competing visions of a woman's life. Each side thinks it understands what the other wants. The Trumpist, embodied by J.D. Vance in his repulsive, sneering, childless cat lady comment, and by Tucker Carlson in his portrayal of Kamala Harris as a Samoan-Malaysian low IQ diversity hire, believes that the left wants women to be on Plan B, gobbling a dilettante in their youth, and stomping on men in corporate drones. They say something else, but I don't want to read that word. Just corporate drones in early adulthood, lonely, angry spinsters who approach 40 in a mania for egg freezing or emasculation. Soon afterwards, the women's problems become neutralized by the relative invisibility of the postmenopausal female. The libs believe that conservative women want to spend their youth in training to attract, submit to, and please men, suppressing all other forms of human potential for one that revolves around dressing up, smiling, self-imprisonment, wiping. I can't even read the article. I can't read it. Because how she writes, treating their husbands as if they wear diapers, I'll say it that way, both literally and emotionally. Chris Bray, in his article, points this out, that J.D. Vance is married to a fellow Yale law grad who's been working as a trial lawyer at a major corporate firm, Tucker Carlson's 55-year-old man, who's been married to the same woman for 33 years. And the article continues right down into the fact that President Trump is going to do everything he can to incarcerate women for having things like miscarriages. So when my family member reads these things and comes away with an utter fear and an utter absolutely convinced that President Trump is the devil, what good would it be for me to say, no, he's not? See, we're in this state right now. Those of us who supported President Trump, and particularly Christian men who supported President Trump, of refusing to be put into the box that the leftist media wants to put us into. Now, first of all, we aren't those people, so it's not that hard of a task to just be ourselves. Secondly, though, we need to broadcast that. My hope in my discussion with my loved one is to not get upset. I view her as terrified, horrendously afraid, feeling doomed. Those are horrible feelings. And in her discussion, as she's referred to the Trump cult, etc., I know that's her view. And I don't take it personally. Because I understand the decision I made. The decision I made was based on a binary presented to me. There's Kamala or there's Trump. And I know you can write in and I know you can sit it out, but really, if you're doing that and you're predisposed to vote for President Trump, you would have been handing that vote to the liberals, to the communists, as I see it. So I'm secure in this. I'm secure in my decision. And I'm secure in the idea that the only thing I can do is be loving and to hope that God's face shines through. So I'm thinking about my next response. I've been going a couple days between responding. Because I want to cool it down. I want to de-escalate to a degree, to whatever degree. And I want to fire. Now, see, there I just about said fire back. I want to go back with my next text message very thoughtfully, recognizing that my loved one has brought the spiritual realm into this. You see where I can take that? She's brought the spiritual realm into this. God versus the devil. And I think here is where I begin to present my case a little bit. That yes, I do believe there's a massive spiritual realm around politics. It's around everything. And I do believe there are great forces of evil. I simply disagree on where they're being aimed or where they're being most effective. The people in the Mockingbird media, like the New Yorker, remain stunned, unbelievably stunned at the way the election came out. They could not see it coming. They live in a bubble land, and in that bubble land, they don't hang out with anybody who would vote for President Trump. They don't travel the country for the most part. I mean, some do. They live in a very cloistered, very small, some 13-block region of New York. Sometimes they live in D.C. But they are only exposed professionally to people who think exactly like them. And yet, on CNN, they talked about President Trump's victory and some of the key demographic shifts that really communicate, really do, a kind of quiet revolution.
Trump gained ground in 49 states and the District of Columbia compared to 2020. I went back through the record books. When was the last time a party gained in so many different places? You have to go all the way back to 1992 when Bill Clinton improved upon Michael Dukakis's performance in 49 states plus the District of Columbia.
So in the District of Columbia, President Trump went up to 9% support. Nine. And that's where so many people who were peacefully protesting on January 6th are held in prison. And because of juries like that. And there are some people in there who deserve to be in prison, but that's just a side note. We'll let CNN continue.
The bottom line is, no matter where you looked on the map, Kate Baldwin, no matter where you looked, Donald Trump was improving on where he did 4 years ago, except for Washington State. It is no wonder that at this particular point, he looks like he's going to be the first Republican to win the popular vote since George W. Bush back in 2004.
And to pull that off, he gained ground with groups that Republicans do not generally count as part of their winning coalition, or it really at all.
And one of those groups is women. Didn't we just talk about the New Yorker piece? That it was the Republicans and Democrats who framed this as a gender war. Did you see that? In any ad, in any presentation from President Trump, did you see the framing of a gender war? I only saw that from one side. I saw that from Kamala Harris, who wanted to be seen as a brat, a modern-day feminist. That failed, and so then they tried to make her joyful and then a strong leader, all of which failed.
How much ground did he gain?
Holy Toledo. It's just like, oh my goodness gracious. These are the types of groups that you would never have thought that Donald Trump would have gained so much support among 8 years ago when he first won against Hillary Clinton. Trump's was the best GOP showing among 18 to 29-year-olds in 20 years. You have to go all the way back to 2004. How about among black voters? It was the best performance for a Republican candidate for president in 48 years since Gerald Ford back in 1976. And among Hispanic voters, the exit polls only go back since 1972. But Donald Trump's performance on Tuesday was the best for a Republican presidential candidate in exit poll history. He literally goes all the way back through history and breaks history. This is what we're talking about, Kate Baldwin. Groups that you never thought that Donald Trump would do well amongst, even for a Republican candidate, that is what he did. If the 2016 election was about Donald Trump breaking through with white working class voters, this election was about breaking through and going to that Democratic coalition and tearing it apart.
CNN helped with this. CNN helped elect President Trump. MSNBC did. The New Yorker did. The Department of so-called Justice did, Kamala Harris did, the DNC did, Joe Biden did, the people who run Joe Biden did, Tony Fauci did. There comes a time where people can observe true, true extremism. They can observe it in their cities being destroyed by crime. They can observe it in being told, you will pretend, men or women, you will pretend it's okay that your little girl is being leered at in the shower at school by a boy. You're going to pretend that. You're going to pretend that the lockdowns works, the masks were okay, President Trump was in fact a Russian asset, and none of what you're seeing is real. None of it. Because it's all right. Because Kamala Harris has a plan. The doom that people see. Wait until you hear what the people at the New York Times said on one of their podcasts. And let's talk about this again from a perspective of spiritual warfare. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We've been talking about people who are terrified of a Trump administration. And I'm relating the fact that I have a family member who is utterly, utterly terrified, believes the nation is doomed. She is an agnostic to atheist who believes that President Trump is the devil. And it was there that I took some good news. My family member is talking about the existence of a spiritual realm. And right now, there's no point in me or you, if anyone is terrified in your life, I don't think there's any point right now in trying to discuss policy or saying, yeah, but Kamala Harris. I think as followers of the Lord Jesus, we are right now to listen. And even when it's can feel like you're being accused, you might have family members say, I can't believe how anyone could be involved in this cult. I can't believe how anyone could ever vote for this man. He's the worst person in the world. He is all etc. It can feel sometimes like you're being attacked. I don't take it that way. I encourage you not to take it that way. I encourage you to be the people that the Mockingbird media would have others believe we're not. That is truly loving, patient, kind, charitable, tolerance in the true words of tolerance. That doesn't mean agreeing with people. It means tolerating their views. And hoping for a time when, about a year from now, no one's been put in camps. Women are not being tossed in prison for having a miscarriage. These things are not going to happen. If people are put in prison before they're deported, it's the same prisons they're put in now. There are immigration jails and prisons around the country, and they've been used for decades to house people before they're deported. So they're not camps. And we've been talking about people who are doomsayers. The ridiculous piece from The New Yorker that pretends that both presidential candidates made this about gender. And of course, in that same piece, they pretend there are more than two genders. So when they make that case that President Trump's team made it about gender, they were saying that they want a future where Republican women are hot, silent, and miserable. Because of course, that's what all Republican men want. They want a woman who's physically attractive, doesn't speak, and is miserable, because that's what animates us. None of it holds up to even the slightest look at J.D. Vance in his marriage. And for that matter, from what I've seen of Melania Trump, which is very little, her countenance, she doesn't seem particularly miserable to me. But then again, I don't know. I know this. The people at the New York Times see an absolutely dark, inescapable tyranny under President Trump. And part of this, I think, comes from the fact that in the New York Times, politics is God. Politicians are gods. For the large part, the New York Times are people who may have ethnic backgrounds in faith. Now, I refer to people as being ethnically Jewish or ethnically Christian, meaning, yeah, I mean, family tradition is that we believe in those elves, the elf of Lord Jesus, etc. Might be how they'd view that. God forgive me. But I don't. I've evolved past my family's beliefs. People who are ethnically Jewish, they might speak a few Yiddish words here and there. They might even celebrate some of the holidays, but they don't believe in God at all. It's just an ethnic tradition. And having walked through the hallways at the New York Times a couple of times, having hung out with some of their star reporters at this or that event, I feel pretty confident in that analysis. Same thing with the Associated Press. And I spent a good long time being welcomed in circles like that because I had Microsoft money and Microsoft strategy and Microsoft platforms to offer them. So I can come back and say, this is what it's like there, like having spent time in D.C., also very, very godless place for the large part. Although we do have signs of the faith, the Christian faith actually beginning to break through truly into Trump land. And may that continue. I've said I want President Trump's first act to be 7:30 in the morning prayer meetings where people drop to their knees and pray that the Lord Jesus will bring his wisdom to bear, the Holy Spirit through them, rather than the wisdom of men. At the New York Times, where there is at least almost all of them are agnostic, if not atheist, if not really, really adverse to the Christian faith. They view politics as God, so you get podcasts like this.
One that is not only extremist,
but also effective in that extremism.
Emboldened by a series of Supreme Court rulings, perhaps bolstered by support in both houses of Congress, Trump will fulfill his promise to be a dictator on day one.
He sends troops into neighborhoods like my own to try to round up undocumented immigrants, that he sets up a network of camps.
Mass deportations. It would likely plunge the United States into something like a recession. His tariffs, likewise, promised to spike prices for most Americans and cause costs to go up dramatically.
That version of Trump could result in abandoning Ukraine to advancing Russian armies, could result in extraordinarily erratic foreign policy in the Middle East.
I mean, Donald Trump often talked about things like bombing Mexico to deal with drug cartels. People stopped him from doing that.
But there's not going to be any adults in the room this time.
President Trump did not talk about bombing Mexico. President Trump talked about bombing the cartels. They are making military-style incursions into our country. They have shot at Customs and Border Patrol agents. They have killed some. They are taking armed groups and bringing illegal immigrants en masse into our country. It is a supply line for the cartels of people and product. That's what President Trump talked about. Did you hear them talk about a chaotic Middle Eastern strategy? Does it get more chaotic than funding both sides of a war of potentially biblical proportion? Does it get more chaotic than that? Does it get more chaotic than bringing the Seabees out to the shores outside of so-called Palestine to build a $200 million dock while they're under extreme threat of being killed because they didn't take the time to get the battleships in place and to have Overwatch in place, and then to have that dock, $190 million, dissolve itself and sink in a few weeks? Does it get more chaotic than that? Does it get more chaotic than a figurehead president who can't quite bring himself to decide if he's going to go to Bibi Netanyahu and completely pull the plug and completely hand it over to Hamas? No, it does not. But this is how people see this in the Mockingbird media. And they infect people like my family members. So we as Christians must not, at this point for the next 3-4 months, must not argue policy with our terrified friends and family members. We must love them. We must accept their terror. We must tell them those are really hard feelings. Those are horrifically hard feelings. It's a huge emotional weight you're under right now. And I love you. And they're going to want to debate policy with us. And I think that we can say, you know what? I don't know that this is the time. Maybe we could talk about it in a couple of months. Right now, I want you to know I love you. It's going to frustrate some of them. It is, because they're going to want to argue. But look at some of the now unintended consequences of President Trump having taken office. This is the mayor of New York, of course, who's now suddenly under investigation for corruption because he's uniquely corrupt. He's under investigation, in my assessment, because he spoke out against the mass illegal immigration because it's destroying his city and, much more importantly to him, is destroying his political career.
The city will no longer issue vouchers to migrants to pay for food, ending a controversial program that had repeatedly come under attack by conservatives and others.
This pilot program in New York City, drenched in both humanity and controversy, distributed debit cards to migrant families staying in city-funded hotels and allowing them to buy their own food. Eyewitness News reporter Josh Einiger following the breaking news for us. Josh?
Well, Bill, it's a program that, as you say, generated plenty of controversy, but now its absence may raise even more questions. The so-called Immediate Response Cards pilot program was designed to help feed migrant families who'd found themselves in New York with no way to afford food. The one-year contract provided what the city described as culturally relevant food to 2,600 migrant families, allowing them to basically buy what they wanted. A family of four with two kids under five got about $350 per week to cover food in a program the city said would actually save taxpayers millions a year. It also reduced food waste. You may remember the food the city had been providing in migrant shelters was seen as not culturally sensitive to the needs of some migrant groups, and it ended up just going to waste.
It's all Orwellian. Migrants who found themselves in New York. Illegal immigrants who snuck into the country, sometimes with the assistance of cartels, are in New York. They didn't find themselves there. They may have been flown there, but they came here. They made themselves subject to this. It's drenched in humanity and controversy. Here's some of the controversy that they didn't talk about. You, the taxpayer, are paying for those debit cards. You're paying for the money, and then you're paying a rake to big banks who run those debit cards. It costs the big banks maybe one thousandth of a penny to process a transaction, maybe. The debit cards themselves might have cost the bank maybe half a penny, the actual physical cards. But we're paying them between 3 and 7% to handle the money. And Eric Adams is dropping the program because I think he wants cover from President Trump. I think President Trump might provide that cover. After all, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. For those of us who believe that illegal immigration at this mass level is a plan to destroy the country and the Electoral College, this is a breath of relief. For people like my loved one, it's a further sign that already people are buckling to the cruelty of Trump. Newsweek headline, Hamas calls for immediate end to war after Trump election win. Now, they could be using this to try to pressure Israel. I think that they recognize the fact that they're not going to be funded anymore. Not anymore. Not with President Trump in place. You can look at this if we're going to talk about cruelty. And eventually, I'll want to bring this up with my family member who is so terrified of President Trump. FEMA has confirmed that this isn't a rumor. FEMA has confirmed that one of its employees told her underlings, as it were, that they were not to provide aid to homes with Trump signs. She said it verbally. She put it in writing. So if your home has been destroyed, you've been without power for 4 to 6 weeks, but your Trump sign made it through, you're out. And in fact, employees of FEMA in their notes said, home not approachable, Trump sign via leadership. Did not approach home, Trump sign present via leadership or per leadership. Is that being reported? I can guarantee you my family member does not know this because of the information she receives from organs like CNN and The New Yorker. You know it here because we have one boss, that's God Almighty. Multiple family members, that's you. So people do not understand, for the large part in America, the spiritual nature of this, the division. Can you see it? Satan would love it if we would argue politics with our family members right now. He would love it. He would beg us to do it. This is the daughter of Tim Walz.
I'm sitting here on my couch eating SpongeBob mac and cheese and watching Outer Banks, and I just have a couple like initial post-election thoughts. I've like officially reached a point of anger, and I'm not an angry person, so I'm just trying to channel it. The first one being, this country does not deserve Kamala Harris. That woman should go live her best life wherever she wants, doing whatever she wants, because we don't deserve her at this point. The only people that delivered this election were Black women, and we failed them. And it's just heartbreaking, and we've got to do whatever we can to support them and support our people through these next 4 years. Another one is, these people have to live in their own skin, as in J.D. Vance and Donald Trump have to be J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. And that is not a punishment I would wish upon anybody except those two individuals. So I'm just really grateful that I am who I am and that I'm on the side of love and hope and joy and progress.
Love, joy, hope, and progress. Unless you're a fetus, unless your parents who know that your 9-year-old girl is not a boy and should not be taken by the state and chemically and surgically mutilated, and so much more. there are plenty of women who are expressing what is rage. And good news on the topic of rage is it is a short-lived emotion. But they're making promises and plans, and they're encouraging other women to take action.
The first question I'm asking everybody in my life, from this moment forward, who did you vote for? If I get anything aside from Kamala, get the in my face. I am done, honestly. It costs me $0 to cut people off. And in this economy, I'm taking all the free I can get.
Donald Trump is president, and I think all women should stop having sex for the next 4 years in protest and protection of your bodies. As we know, if that little baby inside you gives you any trouble and you need an emergency health care, you're f***ed and you're gonna die. I think that is sufficient enough reason to stop having sex.
So we can confront these lies, and we must confront these lies eventually. Right now is not the time. In my judgment, right now is the time to receive the rage, to receive the anger, to respond in love, to listen. I thank my family member. I told her, I feel really honored that you will share your feelings directly with me. And later today, when I figure out how the Holy Spirit wants me to respond, specific words, I'll respond to her latest text, which is where she says, as an atheist and agnostic, that she believes President Trump is the devil. I'll try to figure that out. Well, let me take that back. I will do a better job of listening to the Holy Spirit. Senator Lankford questioned a woman named Heather G. Hacker on the abortion bans and what's actually in them. We'll talk about that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you being part of the AFR family. We have an audience of one, that's God Almighty, and a family of many, that's you. We're particularly grateful to people who have decided to help us fund this this magnificent network of 180 radio stations. You can do that at AFR.net. And while I'm encouraging you to do things of a philanthropic note, have you yet gone to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC? This is Operation Christmas Child. It's a fantastic program. There are shoe boxes. You can either get your own shoe box. There's ways to get them provided to you. And what we're doing is we're filling these shoe boxes with items for kids of defined age groups. You can choose the age group. You can choose the gender. We want to put some wow items in there, like toys. Some of these kids have never, ever gotten the Christmas box, ever. Christmas gift. And we put some items in there, like I said, the wow items, the toys, things you're going to need, socks and some hygiene items, focusing on the correct age. And again, you can choose the age and the gender. And then the people at Samaritan's Purse will take over. They'll make sure that these are given to the kids along with the Word of God and opportunities for them to engage, to be engaged as potential disciples. Because we're all potential disciples until we become disciples. So again, you can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You can even build your box online. You don't even need to touch a physical box. You can simply go to the website and they will do that for you. You just choose which items you want. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. When talking about, and I've been doing this through the lens of a family member of mine who is deeply terrified about President Trump and him being president again. And I've been saying that this is not the time for me to argue policy with her. It's not the time for me to attempt to talk her into feeling better. It's a time for me to listen. And the time will come when it is time for us to speak into this from a factual basis. But in my judgment, that time is not now. It will fall on deaf ears. It almost has to because of the emotional state that the Mockingbird media and the Kamala Harris campaign drove these women to live in right now. Eventually, I want people to see this testimony of Heather G. Hacker. She's a lawyer. She's made appellate court arguments on behalf of the state of Texas. She's an accomplished lawyer. She's now talking with Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma about what is and is not in these abortion bans.
And I want to be able to help bring some things together from hearing the testimony from the entire day on this. Ms. Hackler, just to clarify on this, are there any states where women face prosecution for having an abortion?
No.
Are there any states that criminalize miscarriage?
No.
Or the care for any for a miscarriage?
No.
Are there any states that criminalize removing an ectopic pregnancy?
No.
Are there any states that prohibit life-saving care for the mother?
No.
Are there any states where women have to be actively dying for a doctor to be able to act for her care?
No.
There's been a lot of rhetoric in this that I'm concerned pushes people away from getting access to health care. Vice President Harris, in a speech recently, said that women were being arrested and facing prosecution for experiencing miscarriages. Ms. Hackler, do you know of a single instance where a woman has been arrested for having a miscarriage or getting health care for that?
No, treatment for miscarriage is allowed under the law. And there have been instances where I think that one example of that that's been pointed to is misleading, because the woman, I think she was in Ohio, the charges against her were not abortion related. And so it's misleading to use that as an example.
Misleading, to say the least. Emotionally terrifying to women, to be more accurate. And it is designed to terrify. The Lord must look upon lies that terrify people to this degree, particularly around the topic of saving life. And it has to either break his heart or cause him great anger. Neither one is an attractive option for me. I don't want to cause him anger or hurt. I know I've done both. And so I ask forgiveness. I think we need to pray right now that the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to speak love into the lives of women who've been terrified by this stuff, because it's our only way of allowing God to work through us right now. That's my judgment. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouty questions. I understand, John. I understand. I have dealt with this question about 3 times already. I understand. It is...
The Tower of Babbling.
3 sound bites in the Tower of Babbling today. Almost always 3. On CNN and MSNBC, they had a very similar response to this election.
I think in a normal country, we would say, hold on a second, maybe we need to have a different set of regulations for social media platforms now they're this big.
It would help if we could regulate social media, because one of the biggest offenders is DC and Congress have not been able to do one thing in regard to the rogue corporations of social media.
And then moves them through YouTube videos, through podcasts, moves them from that annoyance all the way slowly, slowly, slowly to a full-blown fascist politic.
There's that word again. That actually means something. It means that companies and governments have become one, and it's them versus the people. I give you the COVID shots. I give you forced turnover of your house from natural gas you like to electric you don't want. I give you Obamacare, being forced to purchase products you don't want from companies you don't like at prices you cannot afford for services you do not need. That's corporate fascism. I give you people speaking on behalf of government censorship, on behalf of corporate interests. They are working for corporate interests as they insist there must be censorship. That's fascist. Interestingly, they don't understand who they're actually fighting when they attempt to censor us. They're fighting God, because God himself is truth. Next up in today's Tower of Babbling.
I don't care if you are my family. I don't care if you're my friend. I don't care if we've been friends our entire lives. You can literally go f*** yourself if you voted for Donald Trump. If you are so sad about your groceries being expensive, get a better f***ing paying job. Do better in life. Get a f***ing education. Do something.
That man was a fraternity and sorority life assistant director Oh, there's a decent ending to this. Angela Sickdell, a spokesperson for the University of Oregon, told the National News Desk that that guy, Mr. Serrato, was placed on administrative leave. School also opened an investigation into the post and is reviewing its context of university policy. Serrato's role as a public employee is being reviewed as well. Could he even be a public employee any longer? I don't think so. Last up in today's Tower Babbling, on Wednesday, the Senate's apparently going to make a decision as who will be the either leader of the Senate, meaning a leader, or a boss like Mitch McConnell has been. John Cornyn's name is being tossed around. He is 100% disqualified.
Well, I think there's no question about that. We saw the act of interference in the French elections here just a few days ago. But through a combination of espionage, cyber espionage, propaganda efforts, use of social media, co-opting even some of the mainstream media to take phony news stories and to make them enter the mainstream is part of the way they undermine public confidence in our democratic institutions.
He there talking exactly like the people who want to censor social media. Cornyn is no friend of President Trump's policies. He is no friend of Make America Great Again. He is no friend of the voice of the people who elected President Trump in this election. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note, that is very little right now we can do to cause people to feel less absolute, abject terror about the prospects of a Trump administration. I don't normally talk politics during a personal note. Normally it's purely personal, and so is this one. Right now, I'm going to be in a period of time where I do not get to gather and eat and talk with a dear, dear family member because she is so terrified. Right now, our communications are going to be through text. And that's where we're at. And as I think about this, and I think about the degree of terror my loved one is under, I'm thinking about a life we've led. I'm thinking about some things that happened in our lives. I'm thinking about the fact that in my father's deeply dysfunctional marriage, second marriage, my father was a dear man. I love him dearly. I miss him every day. He was a good dad. He was a good ex-husband. And he had a deeply dysfunctional second marriage. And I'm thinking about the thing that happened there where his ex-wife, our supposed stepmother, once went on a drinking binge. And she, this was around Christmas time, outraged that we were late getting back from an event where I witnessed my father, my dad, calling her and saying, hey, please come out here. We're going to have dinner out here. Please come and join us. And she wouldn't, maybe for good reason, maybe because she was already drunk. We went back to my father's house with the intention of spending the night. And my loved one came to me and said, hey, she's cut up my clothes with a steak knife. My loved one had gotten new clothes for Christmas, and this woman cut them up and left the knife there. We left, obviously. I told my dad what happened. He took us from the house, and we left. My loved one never returned. That did not bode well for the relationship between she and my father. Didn't bode well at all. And yet, into this came a man who was a social worker, a man who, though emotionally way too reserved, never gave up seeking that relationship. And when that man was dying, my loved one was there. The relationship healed to a great degree through tiny bits of communication, and eventually a full coming to terms with what happened and how that period of our life was so chaotic. Right now, you have people in your midst who are being triggered by all sorts of trauma. And I know the popular thing, and I could not do this segment on commercial talk radio. I couldn't do it this way. People would tune out. I know it's a popular thing to say, look at the snowflakes. I know it's a popular thing to say, let's own the libs. I'm here to tell you, none of that can be coming from the Lord Jesus. We have an opportunity during this post-election cycle to do really one of three things. We can ignore our family members and friends who are utterly terrified. We can gloss past it and say, yeah, that sucks. That's really bad. Or we can lean in with ears. Now, we can't receive their prayers. Some of them don't pray. Some of them don't know the Lord. But we can receive their moanings and their groanings. We can receive their cries of pain. We can even let them aim that at us and not respond. Or we can emotionally tear them apart by coming back with fact after fact and sending document after document and sharing on social media constantly. May I make a huge suggestion right now? That we choose the latter to listen. Listening is rare. I had a thing happen to me a few years ago. I was talking to a woman after an event. I had no idea. I didn't know her at all. She was a fellow speaker. She happened to mention something as we were sitting there about her boys, and she'd just been through a divorce. And she said those words to me, just in my kids, and I just said, oh, let me stop. I would be really hurt if I were you. She goes, yeah, I'm hurt. I said, I would be really, really hurt. I would feel really betrayed. And she sat and she began to cry. She said, I guess I do feel betrayed. I said, may I offer you something? She was speaking at our church event, not yet a member. Would you mind talking with a sister about this? Because there's some women here right now who would love to right now, this moment, walk with you. Would you let me go get one of them? And she nodded, and I did. Because it was listening. She's now a member in full force in the church, a great volunteer, and that woman to whom I introduced her has become her fast and best friend. We can do likewise with her family members. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to visit again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been The Disciples View.